We got Monty Poole good enough to join us here from NBC Sports to talk a little Warriors basketball. Monty, thank you for joining us, including Ray Ratto. Very, very nice of you to do on your part. Look, we were just talking about Henry Aaron, who passed away today, and I know that you've been the host of Race in America, a candid conversation on NBC Sports Bay Area, and I'm guessing that you're going to be touching on Henry Aaron soon enough and what he meant and what he went through, and just an unbelievable icon passing away today.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, he was a legend for many reasons. I mean, baseball is just one of them. But, yeah, you look at what he went through as he was pursuing the Ruth record. I mean, I don't know how many people on earth could have done it with the class and dignity that he did. But he carried on, and he didn't shrink. He didn't shrivel. He didn't fold. He just kept hitting and kept hitting and kept hitting until he got there. And so I think he was still underappreciated, though, as a ball player, because there were guys who played with more flair, Willie Mays being one of those guys. And so Henry was just, he was just a great ball player who did things in a dignified, sort of understated way for the most part. And off the field, same thing. He did a lot, but he didn't toot his own horn. And I think that's the part of him that was so gracious and the part of him that we're going to miss just not having him around, because he's just a class man.
Monty Poole here on 95.7 The Game, remembering Hank Aaron. So the game last night was an odd way to follow up what I think we all agree was the best game of the year, followed by one of the worst games of the year for the Golden State Warriors. And afterwards, Steve Kerr was none too pleased, and he was calling out the team in the media, saying this was a sloppy game. We're a mediocre team that is spending too much time reaching, playing defense. And it was pretty pointed criticism from Kerr, who was none too happy with the Draymond ejection and that entire game.
Yeah, there was a lot to go over in that game. I personally think that the first quarter was atrocious, especially on defense. You know, to give the Knicks team 40 points, that team usually needs about 4 days to get 40 points. So to get 40 points in 12 minutes, you can't be playing defense at all. And so, yet the Warriors put up 31, because the Knicks just aren't a great team either. And so the second quarter, I thought the Warriors kind of gathered themselves and actually got back into the game, tied the game. Draymond and shortly after Draymond and Steph come in, and a couple of minutes later, Draymond's tossed. And I personally thought, okay, if Draymond's gone, they're done, because of what he does for both ends of the court and what he brings just in terms of presence. And you saw them play in the second half. They looked like they hadn't practiced together. I mean, it was a mess. And so Steve is right. Yeah, there's a lot of needless reaching and a lot of silly fouls, a lot of sloppy play. And all those things are valid. But by the same token, I think a lot of what they do wrong without Draymond, they do right when he's on the court. And he's not perfect, obviously, as a player, but at the same time, he is one of those guys that he puts his teammates in the best possible position to do well. And when you don't have that, it's kind of like, you know, you got these spokes running around without a hub. It's a different look.
Toward that end, what is it that he brings specifically that makes the difference so stark? Is it just the fact that he is always talking to teammates during breaks about do this, don't do that? Or is it simply a presence? Is it a combination? What define the difference he makes that makes it so stark?
Yeah, it's both. It's kind of like if you have a foreman, you know, on a job site, and you've got, you know, 8 or 10 or 12 workers, and then the foreman goes home for lunch and never comes back. You know, the crew is kind of like, well, how should we do it? What should we do? How should we do it? And it's not to say there isn't talent. Obviously, Steph Curry is a 2-time MVP. But there is no one there to coordinate. There is no one there to manage. There is no one there to make sure that things are orchestrated in the best possible way that suits the specific gifts or skills of everybody as part of the crew. And so you end up with 8 or 10 or 9 or 11 guys or 12 guys running around trying to figure out what they should do. And it's chaos. And I think you saw a lot of that yesterday. So it's just really, to me, it's mostly a matter of organization. he's able to do that. You saw it when he wasn't there early in the season, that there were times when you thought, do they know what they're doing? It just didn't look like it. And if they were playing five guys, but it was like five individual guys. And Draymond comes along, and he kind of stitches everything together. And they look like a unified group, generally speaking. Again, they're not great right now. But generally speaking, he's the person that does that. He's the moderator, the facilitator, however you want to put it. He's the guy that makes sure that guys are in the best possible position to do their best possible work. And when you don't have that, everybody's looking at Steph. And Steph does what he does, but, you know, Steph needs Draymond to be his best self, and he'll be the first to tell you that. So it made a big difference, I thought.
So given everything that you just said, I think we all expected there to be a growth period here. We all expected to some degree that they'd need to be held together, and Draymond was the logical person to do that. How far into the season can we go, though, before we start to say, boy, some of these other guys need to be able to stay organized without Draymond barking at them?
I don't think that's going to happen. Draymond's been barking for, you know, 8 years now. And I don't think that's going to change, and I don't think they want it to change. I mean, he and Steph are a fire and ice combination of leadership, and it's a different style, very much so. But Draymond is a guy who this team looks up to him for what he's able to do and for his basketball intellect. It's easy to see that he's a smart basketball guy. So that's a big part of it. Now, I said from the beginning that whether they go 7-13 or 13-7, I didn't think those first 20 games were going to be a true reflection of what they are and who they can be. And I still believe that, you know, and they could be 10-10 or 11-9 or whatever they are after 20 games. I think that you got to get into the second half of this season to see what the heck they have. They're still tinkering, and I can see why. There are people who want to sit Wiseman down and play Looney because Looney's, quote-unquote, his metrics are better. But the bottom line is that if you've got Wiseman out there, he's one of the few guys who can do things that nobody else on that team can do. And he's 19. You have to live with that. So the question becomes, do you want to live with the bumps and the ups and the downs that come with developing a 19-year-old? Or do you want to try and, you know, see what you have because Looney's your best center when it comes to metrics? I think you got to live with what you have right now. And there's going to be nights when you go, oh, this isn't good. And there's going to be nights when you go, oh, this is really good. I think you live with that to see what you have in Wiseman. And as he grows, the kid won't be 19, won't be 20 until another couple months from now. And so you have to know that he's not going to be anything close to what he should be in a year or two or three. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff on social media saying that, well, you know, you've got Chris Boucher doing, you know, leading the league in defensive metrics. Chris Boucher is 28 years old. Yeah, the Warriors blew it on him. They had something. They didn't realize what they had, and he's gone. But he's 28 years old. And somebody asked, well, can Wiseman be that? I go, I don't know. He's got 9 years to figure it out, you know. So
right.
Let's see. That's what you got to look at, I think.
Monty Poole from NBC Sports Bay Area here on 95.7 The Game. And I was going to ask you a James Wiseman question, but you essentially just answered it. So let's wrap up then with the back of the bench fight that is basically going on between Bazemore, Mulder, Jordan Poole. Who do you think ends up winning that? Who do you think the Warriors would like to see win that?
Well, I think Bazemore is the guy who's most consistently giving them something as a veteran presence. And, you know, he hits a shot every now and then. He plays decent defense. I think he's the guy, the most reliable of that threesome you just mentioned. Now, Jordan Poole obviously is a guy they'd love to see do well because he was their first-round draft pick last year. And they would love to have a first-round draft pick show that the Warriors can really find great players late in the first round. And so they would love to have that. But when you watch him play, you see the inconsistency. And I heard all the stories about how hard he worked in the offseason. And that just tells me that, you know, maybe, yeah, he's young too. I think he's 20, 21. He's 21 now maybe. But yeah, you don't know. Again, you don't know how good he's going to be, but you don't like what you see a lot of times. And the question becomes, well, is that because he isn't getting enough time, enough minutes to become consistent, or is it because he just is what he is? And right now, I'm not certain. I'm not certain. I do know that if you have a choice between he and Kent Bazemore or Michael Mulder, in terms of a tight spot in the game, probably going to go with Bazemore because he's more reliable. And Mulder's the best shooter of the three, but I'm not sure he gives you much anything else besides shooting, which, yeah, it's kind of important.
Monty, let's wrap up with this. Are the Warriors ahead of schedule, behind schedule, or right about where you thought they would be after their first handful of games?
I think they're about where I thought they would be. I thought they'd be okay. And, you know, give a game or two or above or below 500. But again, yeah, I never saw them going out. Wow, they're 15-5. They're not that good. 5-15, they're not that bad. They're somewhere in between, which is where they are right now. They've yet to win three games in a row. And I think at that point you can say, okay, maybe they found something. But that hasn't happened yet. They've had four tries, and each one of those tries has come up dry.
Always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks so much for your time today. Have yourself a good weekend, and we'll do it again real soon. Thanks, Monty.
Guys, enjoy. Take care.